Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
I watched this on Screen Picks.
Me too.
I have a screen. Where did I get a Screen Picks subscription?
I don't know, I have one now. And I got to tell you, I was scrolling through their library. It's cool stuff. It's stuff like Eve of Destruction.
Okay, I already had one, apparently.
Romeo is Bleeding.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
My name is Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Revenge of the Ninja.
Mm. This ninja is revenging himself upon many people.
The ninja, the perfect assassin. The greatest ninja warrior vows to give up killing.
My sword is sealed forever.
But a ninja cannot escape his destiny. It will follow him from the gardens of Japan to the streets of America.
Get those people out of here.
The heroin spilled out.
Damn it!
He's caught in a drug war between the American mafia and the Japanese yakuza.
Are you trying to tell me there's ninjas running around there killing people in the 20th century?
It's a lot. It's too much revenge, almost. But not
kind of. Yeah, it kind of spills outside the lines a little bit. He gets a little reckless with it.
Yeah, watch yourself, ninjas. You gotta ninja responsibly. Things get out of hand in this movie. Which before we start, big old thank you to Nolan the 2B Terror Bunny.
That's our
Patreon subscriber who has mandated that we watch these ninja movies. Do you remember that we watched the other ninja movie?
I do, yes.
These movies, what was that one called?
Enter the Ninja. Yes.
You enter the ninja and now you're revenging.
And that was that was the one that had Franco Nero in it as the ninja, and you could see his mustache through his ninja mask, and it was really awesome.
I had completely forgotten that movie. I had remembered like it ends in an arena, that the ninja was some honky, that he was kind of a dirtbag. Like, I remember they were kind of slumlords. Like, they owned, like, they had like their laborers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, they would have been the villain in any other movie, is what I recall. There was that guy with porn in his jacket that helps him get into that office.
Yeah, his friend Frank, the plantation, like, despot.
Yeah.
Making all those people work the land for him.
It's very in line with, like, 80s action, which is, like, skyscraper corporate evil guy, right? Was a big part of that with like jacuzzis, lots of jacuzzis. In this one, there's also jacuzzis.
Yeah.
And so like,
there's
this
like
is
three
no different
jacuzzis.
Yes.
They keep appearing.
There's multiple jacuzzi like fatalities.
Right. The jacuzzi at the end is a genuine jump scare. Like when it appears, I'm like, another jacuzzi.
I know. It's wild. I mean, listen, we're in the 80s. We talked about this film originally on Hypecast, if you recall.
I do,
It was like one of the highest grossing movies of its month in 85 that we were covering. And we were kind of shocked by its existence. And then we watched it on a Friday movie night. And that's like I was in a fugue state.
Yeah, we usually are.
Yeah. This is all to say that watching it again was... What a fun little delight.
What a treat. I like that the bad guy from the first one, Enter the Ninja, is Cho in this movie. He's the main character.
Okay. I was going to ask, how does this connect? I thought that lady, the lady in this might have connected. I know that it like vaguely connected.
Other than what I just said, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. The plot of this is... Well, it's a Revenge of the Ninja. It begins with like a happy family, and I was like, "Well, these people are going to die."
Oh yeah.
So the movie called Revenge of the Ninja, opening with like, we're having a great time as this family. Like,
oh yeah, no, these guys are going to get oozied by some drug dealers or something. It's right. The '80s. It's going to be a real License like, to Kill opening.
It's a ninja overkill. It's like six ninjas per person.
There were so many ninjas here to kill this family, like this, like a family getting ready to go to Denny's. It's like grandma and mom and a little kid.
A little kid who gets a ninja star,
it's a ninja star
the face.
Right in his face, Dave.
This movie starts at 11. This movie starts with ninja star in the fucking face. I didn't even ask you how you like this movie because I don't think it matters.
This kid gets deleted with the fucking deadly shuriken, Dave.
Yeah.
This movie's incredible. What do you,
yeah.
Why would you, that's why I didn't
that's
bother
I
to
mean.
Ask you.
That's what I mean.
It's like understood that, staying. Oh, this movie is hype as shit. It's the hypest movie ever made.
A child gets a throwing star in the face, and they show it. They show that thing sticking out of that child's fucking face.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's Butters in that fucking South Park episode.
Somebody does get that exact injury. That guy by the water fountain later.
Yeah.
When he snitches.
Hobo informant?
Yeah, when he snitches on a ninja, which you know you shouldn't do. That's another deadly shuriken right to the face, and he gets it right in the corner of his eye. And it's like exactly the Butters wound.
It is. It's amazing.
Pretty great. And pretty great film.
Kills him instantly. They explain that it's like
it doesn't kill him instantly. It takes about 11 seconds as he thrashes around in the fountain and then he dies.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But he explains that like ninja weapons are kind of they're kind of gatekeeping weapons. What I mean by that is like you have to like he explains to Karate Cop later or he explains to one I think the chief who is way in over his head. That one guy who is the cop who is like I'm dealing with ninja crime.
A guy who wandered in from like some seedy 1970s crime thriller. He's like hold on.
He's incredible.
We're talking about ninjas here.
And then he goes to Karate Cop and asks him, and Karate Cop is like, I do have a Japanese friend I can ask. And I was really hoping it was just like a Japanese guy who owns a car dealership who's just like, I'm sorry, this is very racist of you to come to me.
Right, yeah.
But no, he has a ninja friend. And so like he explains that
just
throwing
like
stars.
Some kid he knows who lives in his building. It's like a 16-year-old.
Just starts leaning, like just stringing him along. Like, yeah, I know about ninjas for sure, man. I'll do it for weed. But he explains that throwing stars aren't deadly unless you pierce the eye and it goes into the brain. So it's like again, it's a weapon where like you have to be very precise with it. Otherwise, just like anybody throwing a throwing star, you know, limited results, I guess, is their whole thing, right?
Yeah, you're gonna look kind of silly.
I find that funny when in this intro, there's also a white guy just shooting the ninjas. And there's something very funny about ninjas just getting shot.
That made me laugh out loud. Because Cho is in there, our main character, tussling with some of the ninjas. And they're doing this choreography. And then it abruptly cuts to his white friend just shooting one in the gut with a 45. Yeah.
I wanted to be like, oh, you can just shoot them.
Oh, right. There's guns.
It's so much easier.
This movie is like, I think we said it about the first one, but this movie is real Ultimate Power, the movie.
Yes.
It's just, it's so much a product of that brief, glorious time in pop culture when magical karate was just something that was possible. Like, for some reason, we all believed it was possible for like 10 years. Or
and
not even that long.
A couple
of years in the 80s. So you could just say whatever about martial arts. And this movie is like, is that. Like, this movie is everything a fourth grader invents about ninjas for a book report.
The lady who's like, playing both sides, the reveal that she is under a spell.
Right, she's being hypnotized by the weeb villain.
Yeah, the weeb ass villain who like he waves his hand in front of her and says some sort of fucking bullshit, and she gets all like glazed over in the eyes, and you realize like, oh, apparently she's under ninja control.
Yeah.
Why the fuck
ninjas
not?
Are just like invincible sorcerers in the mythology of this movie.
This movie understands exactly what it needs to be. And there's one very key element, I think, that proves that to me.
Yeah.
This movie, the entire point of this movie is to maximize how much ninja murder you can put into a film.
They really do stuff it to the gills.
They do. And the very clever way they do it is they have good ninja and bad ninja, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, okay, all right. So they'll fight each other. They'll fight each other's goons. But no, no, no. What you do is you have in between the good ninja and bad ninja, you have a bunch of fucking wise guy mobsters who are like the cop, completely in over their head. And they serve as just this fodder for both ninjas. So you get to watch both the good ninja and bad ninja independently just tear through mobsters on their own before fighting each other.
I want to point out that the mobster, Caifano...
Joe Pesci there?
Yeah. They storm his building and then they just forget about him. Like, he matters... Like, the mobsters matter so little. Like you said, they're just fodder. Yeah. That when both good ninja and bad ninja get to the building, they don't get rid of the mob guy. Caifano lives. Like, they just leave him to go. And they're like, okay, well, you served your purpose. The movie completely abandons him.
Oh, yeah. Because the main villain is, of course, Braden the ninja.
Braden the honky-ass ninja.
It's millennial-ass ninja.
They gave him the honkiest name, too.
Yeah. He is... I couldn't fucking believe this guy. He's like Neil Breen. He looks like Neil Breen. And similarly, I think the acting, and this is kind of Neil Breen.
Oh, my gosh. The acting
like,
is...
Right, this,
first of all, everything's dubbed. Even though everybody's speaking English, it's all been re-recorded for whatever reason. So that's one layer of awesome performance.
And then there's just...
Yeah, there's just so many line deliveries that are incredible.
They're choosing these people for their martial arts skills, you know? And so, like, his whole entire family, his son gets a throwing star in the face. And then immediately he talks to Braden. Braden's like, you should go. And he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, no, my family. And it's like that, where it's like they do not care that his family is dead at all. And
right,
that's,
and the very next, his entire family is slaughtered by ninjas. So he flees to America to leave the way of the ninja behind him, because he comes from this legendary family of ninjas. He's leaving the way of the ninja behind him to make dolls of ninjas.
Of ninjas.
Like, he makes a doll of a ninja with a real sword that cuts a lady.
Yeah, that's actually sharp. Yeah. I was like, either that woman is very frail, or like, that's a real... Yeah, it's... The plot, it's all very convoluted, because the plot is basically, he goes to America to start this doll gallery. His girlfriend is running the gallery, because if you remember in the 80s, I feel like most white women ran galleries, according to action films, at least.
Right. According to Revenge of the Ninja and Beverly Hills Cop, you get a white woman to run the gallery, and then you smuggle drugs inside the art.
Exactly. So they're smuggling, what we learn, Braden is smuggling heroin in these dolls, which actually, when you think about it, doesn't seem practical, because they have to literally steal all the dolls in order to smuggle the heroin. And it's sort of like, why even have the dolls in the process? Why not just, like, put them in bags?
Or, why are they... Right, it's like they forgot why you would do a scam like this. Like, it's just loose heroin inside the dolls we see.
Right.
Like,
dolls that are...
You would put them in baggies inside the dolls and then take the baggies... You would take the drugs out of the dolls before you put the dolls on the floor... On the gallery floor. That's the point of the scam.
If the idea is the dolls, you put drugs in something to import them. Right.
You're hiding it. Yeah, it's a mule.
Right. And so I assume they were imported in the dolls. And then, then you just crack
open
the dolls.
Then you take them out, If the dolls are delicate, then...
I mean, what he does, this weird thing where it's like he thought that as an extra cover... He's like, now we have all these dolls. What do we do with these dolls? And it's like, throw them out. Just take the heroin. They're like, but then people will be suspicious, right? What happened to the dolls? So it seems like he hired somebody to kill his friend to then convince his friend to go to America to help him run the gallery, right? For the dolls that are affront to the heroine.
Yeah, it seems like Braden helps them kill his family to get him to move to America to do this business with him.
Right, but I assume because he had the doll hookup,
I guess,
his friend.
Well, but the Cho like, makes the dolls.
He has his lady. Okay, so they're being made in America.
Apparently by Cho.
Why are you putting heroin in them then? He's not smuggling them
anywhere.
That's
true. That's an excellent point.
Yeah, because that means he's just making him make dolls so he can keep heroin in them. Going back to my original question, why not just put the heroin in a bag? Like, that's all. That's what he's replacing, is a container. That's an elaborate front for containers. If he's not smug, because again, they crack open the doll. They're just giving them to mobsters who are also in America.
Right.
I'm so confused. I am not understanding this plan of Braden. He killed a family to do this.
He sure did. A few generations.
Right.
Like three generations of a family he killed.
Yeah. Because he needed dolls.
He needed to get these dolls out in a gallery. You're right. It makes absolutely no sense. Like, wait a minute.
It's a whole web of lies.
You're right, because if they make them in, they're in America. They're already in America. They're not importing the dolls. It's implied that Cho is making them.
Right. So. And they're giving them to mobsters in the same city.
In the same city. Like, they're in the same...
They're not even getting on
trucks.
They're
in the same zip code with the mobsters.
Yeah. Which is Salt Lake City, by the way.
Right. It's supposed to be Los Angeles, but it very much isn't.
Yeah.
You even see a few Utah license plates, I think. And there's like a building in the background that says like Utah Financial Trust or something. Yeah.
They're not trying very hard.
You know, the snow-capped mountains of Los Angeles.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
This movie's incredible. There's almost too much.
There's almost too much. Jesus fucking Christ. So we established this pretty quickly, that this gallery and then this woman who's also weaving this web of lies of like she's dating our main character, or she's at least fight fucking him.
No,
they fight fuck.
She wants to fight fuck him, but he is like, no, the way of the ninja. I don't know why, actually. I don't know why she's really into martial arts and she's a beautiful woman. I don't know what the issue is. I guess he just feels like he needs to keep suffering for getting his family killed by dabbling in the ways of the ninja.
Yeah. And another thing I appreciate, because for maximum awesomeness, pretty much everybody in this movie knows martial arts.
Yes. It's one of those movies.
It is.
Otherwise known as the best kind of movie.
Yeah, because we meet his son, who's a little older now, who is the only surviving member of the massacre. That, and I think it's his mom, grandma.
It's his mother and his son.
Yeah.
It's his real-life son. It's the actor's real-life son, it looks like. They have the same last name, anyway.
Yeah. And if you think those characters won't throw down, they both will. The son beats up some bullies immediately.
He sure
does.
One
of those bullies looks 30. And so it's to show how awesome he is. And he is awesome.
He is pretty awesome.
He demolishes
these bullies. And grandma's real excited that he's kicking the shit out of these kids.
She just watches.
Yeah, she is.
She should be like, finish them.
I mean, we learn later that grandma can fuck shit up too.
Yeah, grandma
gets into
a fight.
She was going to run in there and start breaking collarbones.
Yeah. Grandma holds her own until she's stabbed through a wall.
Yeah, she gets poloniest.
And then the woman, the gallery woman, Kathy, can fight. So they're all fighting. They're all running this gallery with a logo that looks like a deep butt.
It just looks like
that's the only. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a tower
or a peach.
Oh.
It's just all I could see was butt,
man. Yeah,
it
just looks like
butt.
A big old butt.
Big old butt, which, don't get me wrong, cool logo.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, we have our Braden, who is the funniest fucking ninja.
He's the coolest, man. He puts on a Destro mask and does a voice to go do murders.
Yes, But he also fundamentally doesn't understand the point of the mask. Because, like, for example, he kills a guy in a public bathroom dressed in
the
full mask.
He does all of his ninja operations in the middle of the afternoon. It's really remarkable. He never attacks at night. Not a single time, Dave.
Not at all. And he keeps his ninja gear in, like, this professor's
suitcase.
And, like,
a valise.
Yeah.
Like a briefcase.
It's the honkiest way to fucking be a ninja.
It's like, what?
And then when he kills, like, he does this multiple times. He'll kill someone. And then right there, he'll take off the mask.
Yes. Which gets him
and
caught like, later.
Yes. It's like, what is the point of your mask?
Leave the mask on until you get home.
Right. When you rob a bank, you don't say, give me your money, debt the money, and then take off
the
your mask in the
off.
Bank.
Yeah.
Just because he committed the crime officially doesn't mean he's done.
At least wait until you get outside, dude.
Yeah. He goes to a bathroom just as the ninja kills the mobster, takes off the mask, and leaves with the mask off. So it's like, anybody watching
later
will see a ninja come in, and then you, sir, come out, and there'll be a corpse in that
room.
Yeah,
there'll be a guy who looks, for all the world, like he got kicked to death by a ninja.
Yeah. It's like, I wonder if that had something to do with that ninja guy.
That ninja that walked in. I mean, he gets busted by it later. So he stabs Grandma and then pulls his mask off and then looks up at the skylight and the kid's looking at him. He's like, oh, shit.
That's why I'm not supposed to do that. He's a terrible ninja.
He really is. He does this goofy-ass sorcerer voice, like this Wizard of Oz voice when he's wearing his Destro mask.
Right.
He's like, look into my eyes, Kathy, and count down with me, but in Japanese. For
like
I have learned the ways of the ninja. Everybody says it like that in this movie.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Like they emphasize the last syllable. Ninja.
Ninja.
Man.
Yeah.
God damn it, I loved this movie.
It's such a good movie, folks.
This is one of the versions of the universe. This is one of the versions of the world that I wish was true. Like the karate mythology universe.
Yeah,
where all karate is true.
Yeah. The police station has a cop.
They have a ninja cop.
He's like in the lobby doing training.
Yeah, just in the hallway.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, there's our ninja department. You know, every police station has a ninja department.
Has a ninja department, yeah. It's vital.
It's so good. Oh, yeah. It's. I mean, the FBI must have, like, there needs to be a federal department of ninjas.
Yeah, they must have some breathtaking athletes in the FBI.
Oh, 100%. Like, this is... That's the thing.
Scott Adkins would be the director of the FBI in this universe.
Yeah, because this is like, look, heroin's not nothing, but this is some low-level Salt Lake City crime that's devolved into a ninja battle.
Right, it's really...
Like, that's incredible.
It somehow became entrenched in some 400-year-old mysticism.
Right.
And it's just people smuggling heroin.
Imagine how wars are fought in this universe. Imagine what terrorism is like in this universe. You think the World Trade Center got hit with giant ninja stone?
Yeah, giant shuriken.
Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ.
All
this
terrorism
is just...
in this universe is ninja terrorism.
Yeah, it's all ninja-based war. That's how I'm picturing it.
All conflict is karate-focused.
Yeah. So the bad guy, he's selling the heroin to the mob.
Mm-hmm.
And the mob is going to go over his head.
But he's also... now I remember. Wait, that doesn't make any sense still. No, never. It still doesn't make any sense. Never mind. I believe he's buying the heroin from Japanese gangsters. So he is importing it, but the problem remains the same. Is the dolls are being made in America. So what's happening? Anyway.
I don't know, man.
Even if they're being imported as dolls,
it's still weird. Like, it's still like, even if that was the case, they're being imported as dolls, you then don't put them on display. You empty them out.
Exactly. And you would take them, like, it's like Bad Boys 2. They're smuggling ecstasy or whatever it is inside dead bodies, right?
Right.
But they don't get the drugs in and put them in the dead bodies at the funeral home. They do the opposite.
Right, and you don't then have to, like, dig up the bodies to get the drugs.
Right.
Like, you don't complete... Like, he's running a gallery. For all he knows, someone's going to go in there and go, I love this doll.
Right.
I'm going to buy it.
I want to buy it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the people running the gallery don't know. They don't know, or at least the main guy doesn't. So he could potentially sell the heroin doll. In the movie, someone accidentally knocks over the doll, and heroin spills out
right,
in the gallery.
Just loose heroin inside this doll.
It's dumb. It's dumb. Anyway,
kids spilling H all over the place.
The mobsters realize the obvious. So, like, he drowns the hotshot mob nephew, Gino, who's like, I love Gino only because he shows up and they're like, look at Gino. He's got his whole life ahead of him. And then he's dead in minutes. drowned in a
jacuzzi, Dave.
By a ninja, yeah. And so the mobsters are like, wait a second. Why do we even have to deal with this ninja guy? Can't we just, like, go get the heroin? And it's like, yes, good job. You figured this out.
I love that. I love it. They're just like, so what happens is the bad guy is like, all right, I got you your heroin doll. So like, okay, cool. But I need my money now. Well, I mean, we'll get you money in a couple of days. No, I need my money now. Well, like the mobsters are being reasonable.
Yeah, the mobsters are, they seem generally chill in this movie.
They were trying to make a deal, man. They made a deal for some heroin.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, I guess
we'll just
fucking...
So he pisses them all off by insisting that they give him the money and they can't. So that's why he starts killing them.
Right.
I think. Right?
Yeah, he starts killing them and, like, he's not, like, framing anyone.
No, he's just killing them.
It's just a ninja.
Just
yeah,
a ninja
and like,
killing people because he's mad. That's his revenge.
Right. He's just mad, right? Mm-hmm. He's not doing it. Like, he's fucking up the deal.
Yeah, he's really pissing.
Because he needs the ninja
because
his
lives.
Bosses need the money or something. I don't know.
Like, if you
and
told,
then,
I'm sure if you told, like, he's like, I need it today. You can't mess with the Japanese. You need to pay these people today, like they said. He keeps saying how you can't mess with the Japanese. And it's like, dude, I'm sure if you tell them, like, the money will be here Friday, maybe you could work something out.
Yeah, a
like,
couple days.
Maybe ask.
Not a problem.
Maybe it's 72 hours, man.
Yeah, like, not a long time.
Not a huge wait.
Seems like, and the thing is, those buyers or whoever, they don't show up. They never show up and go, where's the money? So that clearly wasn't that pressing. Like,
no, we
he
never
just
see
goes
them.
Rogue. No, he just goes rogue and starts killing the mobsters.
Yeah.
Which, of course, pisses them off.
And then I love that they figure out that he's like, well, it's in all the dolls at the gallery and it's ready to go. And then he's like, well, you're not getting it until I get my money. I love that they just eventually figure out that they can just go to the gallery and steal all the dolls, which is what they do.
because they send
this fucking dumbass put his heroin dolls out on the floor while they're still full of heroin.
And apparently told the mobsters
He did tell them
Meanwhile, he's making it really public by killing people. That's when Karate Cop gets involved and like the cop, because he starts killing mobsters with throwing stars, and so the cops are like, well,
like,
this isn't
blow guns and stuff,
right? This isn't your everyday, like, mob hits.
He has so many stupid fucking swords that have tiny knives hidden in them. Like, every piece of equipment he has a small knife hidden in its handle.
Right.
It's like, when he pulls out that giant bow and arrow, like his giant grappling hook bow later, I was like, this is a thing that an asshole buys from a magazine. Like, that's all of this shit is.
He's got mall sword vibe through and through, right?
All of this crap at a gun show, Dave.
Oh, 100%. From some dirtbag. Oh, my God.
It looks
and
so
he's,
funny.
God damn, he's going
to
use it.
I know. They don't even come up with reasons. They just have him use different ninja weapons in each scene, and it's so fucking funny.
It is. It's amazing.
It looks so stupid. But it's awesome.
I mean, yeah. When he throws the caltrops, and like, later he throws caltrops in the hallway. And then I think he realizes that doesn't really do anything, because then a guy sees him picking it up and goes like, hey, you, and starts running. And so he has to throw a second thing. He throws ball bearings so that the guy can trip on the ball bearings and fall on the caltrops. And they hit him right in the fucking face. It's like, it's great. It's real zany.
Yeah.
But first, yeah, the mobsters send their goons, including Chief, who is the character who is... he looks like Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is actually a Native American actor. All I can say is I was suspicious.
I'm going to guess he's not, but...
I'm going to guess he's not, too, but...
Yeah.
I there's really... It's... It, my vibe from this movie was that they got a lot of actors, like stunt people together, and said, we need henchmen. And as we'll talk about in the later fight, I think everybody was like, and I feel like this is a general rule of the 80s, where they were just like put in a prop and costume warehouse and told to go nuts and just like, you know, make yourself stand out. And like that's...
Definitely.
That's, yeah.
The scene where Karate Cop takes Cho to meet the toughs, he's like, I have some toughs that may have some information. And he takes them to meet these four guys at all sitting on a picnic table at a playground. And
they look like fucking, they look like Back to the Future 2, Biff Tan and gang.
They're all wearing, they're like, they look like each one is from a different gang in the Warriors.
Yes.
Like there's a genuine, there's an actual cowboy.
Yes. I wrote it down. So there's a biker. The biker guy, there is the actual like ninja guy whose hair is indescribable. It looks painted on.
Right. He has a close-cropped Vegeta widow's peak, but it looks like it's drawn on with a marker.
Yeah. I'm so glad you described it, because I was like, this is like trying to describe the inside of a black hole. Like, I don't know what to say here.
It looks amazing.
There's denim. Yeah. Then there's Denim Cowboy. Who is, like you said, just a cowboy.
Just a full-blown cowboy. But he's a complete cowboy outfit.
But he's like Spirit Halloween cowboy, yeah. You know? Like it's a very showy cowboy. Yeah. And then there's the guy with like a Walkman on or something like that. They all look like cheap costumes.
Yeah.
And I think one of them has a fake mustache that comes off during the fight.
The cowboy has a fake mustache that comes off during the fight, Dave.
And I'm not sure if that was on purpose.
It definitely wasn't. Why would it be on purpose?
But look, and now in canonically, that character is a man who is wearing a fake mustache
as part of his street tough cowboy costume.
It's like a, you know, it's like four people who hit the randomizer button on a character creation, yeah. Right?
They look like four completely different pro wrestlers.
Yeah, there's no way they know each other.
And when they're just chilling on this picnic table.
Yes, they're just having a day together until they get into a ninja fight with Karate Cop.
I can't believe his mustache came off.
It's incredible. Well, I can't believe his mustache.
And they left it in.
Right. They didn't say, okay, cut. Let's do it again. They said, cut. That's great.
It is not moving subtle. On. It is not subtle. It's not, holy, I don't know if you watched Jason's like TikTok recently where he pointed out that thing from The Abyss where you see a hand come in front of the camera and wipe it off.
Yeah.
It's not like that where it's like so subtle you don't see it. Like this man's mustache is hanging off his face.
Half of him. I guess we could theorize that he had the mustache beaten off of him.
He's just kicked his ass so bad his mustache came off.
So good.
Holy shit.
This movie is filled with some of the most incredible fucking characters.
Oh man.
Because this is a different group, mind you.
it's some of the same people.
I mean, I assume it's the same stuntmen, but the people in the shit van who are Dave Grohl and his friends who steal the heroin.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, those guys. We get an awesome fucking van chase.
Oh, yeah, the van chase.
Where our ninja just won't stop jumping on this van. They're just trying to get away with some heroin. And he's dragged by this turd van. They have to stop.
He doesn't know it's heroin. He just knows that they're stealing his dolls.
Yeah. And they're just like, wow, apparently we stole from the wrong fucking person.
Yeah.
They are this heroin
kicks
was started
one
by
guy
one
straight out of the
maniac.
Back of the van, like while it's moving.
He does. He slams through the front of the windshield.
Yeah, he did police stories them. They all go flying through the windshield.
he gets dragged behind the van
and
never lets go until his body is, I believe, slammed into by another car.
Yeah.
A car crashes into his body, and that's why he finally lets go.
Just an incidentally terrible driver T-bones the bad guy's van.
Right.
But they're in the shot, they're dragging this dummy behind them, and the dummy gets, you see the dummy get run over.
No, he is murdered.
Like, oh, he's dead.
I guess that's it for the movie.
Guess you're gonna roll the credits.
Him, like, getting up off the ground. Yeah, he's just getting up. Like, whoo! All right. It's like, wow, this is a superhuman man.
So that was the only take you had.
Yep. Apparently,
mustache.
Meanwhile. Back at the house, this is where the ninja comes in and has to fight the old lady who smoke bombs his ass.
Yeah, she
and then
does.
He just stabs her through the wall. Then he takes off his mask like an asshole. The boy starts to run away. This is where he nails the kid with a door. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just slams it right into his face.
Yeah. The kid gets, he's trying to get this fucking kid, and the kid's slippery, so he never gets him.
He's like a little Ernie Reyes Jr., yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's funny is that later, then he hypnotizes the woman to go get the child, and she has to fight the child and loses at first. She has a ninja fight with a child, loses, and then realizes, it's like Count Dooku versus Yoda at first, where the kid's like flipping around. And, like, just taking her to school. And then she realizes she's an adult. And I just love how it ends. Because it ends with her just going, like, oh, wait. And she
right,
just
I
picks
just
him,
pick up. Him
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. She almost gets murdered. And then, yeah, conveniently realizes.
Oh, right. This kid is 4.
Yeah. So she takes him in to Brayden the ninja. And then he basically ties both her and the kid up. He puts the kid in a sauna.
Yeah, and her
puts
in a jacuzzi.
Her in a hot in a jacuzzi that waterboards her because the jets, it's like possessed by the devil. it's like the jets are just, it's like a fire hose.
Yeah, it's honestly a pretty conceptually horrible way to kill somebody. It's
yeah.
Like actually waterboarding her, yeah.
Meanwhile, the kid's just like slow dying.
Yeah, just in a sauna, just hogtied in a sauna.
And I want to point out that at the end of this movie, so like, we'll get there. The main character basically at this point is like, I have to go, Brayden has betrayed me. I have to go kill Brayden in this office building and get my son back. We're at third act, right?
Mm-hmm. Except he doesn't his go family. Where he knows his son is. He goes to the mobster's tower.
Oh, yeah.
Like he knows, because before they get put in the, before like Brayden puts them in the sauna dungeon, Kathy calls Cho and tells him that they're being held at Brayden's house and that Brayden needs to go kill this mobster and that he's going to kill Cho's son, I think, or something.
Yeah,
but she tells him that they're there and he decides to go to the mobster's tower instead of going to Brayden's house where
that's so weird.
They're being guarded by a single henchman that gets destroyed by the kid.
Right.
So Cho would have just murdered him.
Yeah, Cho would have torn him in half.
Yeah.
But no, he goes, yeah. Well, the reason they do this for a very simple reason is because now we get a sequence where the bad ninja and the good ninja are both attacking the same building of mobsters, who at this point I just felt bad for.
Yeah, they because, really like, stepped they, in it. You stepped in the middle of a ninja war, man.
Yeah.
It's the worst place
it
to
from
be.
From both ends. Yeah. They're between a rock and a ninja. Or two ninjas, I guess.
You just stumbled into the dead center of a centuries-old mystical conflict, pal.
Yeah. They're outside. They're guarding. I love that the henchmen are just in broad daylight with, like, glasses and afros.
The whole movie is in broad daylight.
Yeah. And they're just in front of the skyscraper in, like, a financial center with Uzis. And
yeah.
Nobody.
And
M16s.
Like, yeah. They have gigantic. They all have, like, a different G.I. Joe weapon.
Yeah.
I love that. I love so much that every ninja mission in this movie is conducted at like 2:30 in the afternoon because you know what looks really funny in broad daylight? A ninja.
A ninja. Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose of what a ninja is.
A guy in a ninja costume looks pretty funny
yeah.
in broad daylight.
God. And then one of the guys dresses in white, right? The honky ninja?
No, he's in black too.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of Franco Nero from the first one. He dresses
in white. Yeah. Yeah, where it's like, that defeats the purpose of being a ninja too.
But Cho has like that little desert. Red symbol on his... And right. Also isn't wearing a silver mask.
Yeah, the silver mask is the thing.
His Destro mask.
They know people will get confused otherwise, right? They know they need to...
Well, I think it's so that they could have... This is what I would assume, anyway. I would assume it's so that they can conceal the identity of the actual stuntman who's doing all of the work.
Oh, 100%. But also, it's to show the difference, right?
Yeah,
bad ninja, good ninja.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's see, the lady almost gets sexually assaulted multiple times, by the way.
By Sub-Zero from The Running Man.
Yes, literally, yeah. And then when she's getting waterboarded by the hot tub, there's another weird... both times she's asked, like the henchmen who are asked to watch her are for some reason half naked. And both times they're like the most... weirdly sadistic, because he just watches her almost get drowned and just like smiling, like
he's
that's
pulling
all
on
he does.
He's pulling on one of the chains that's on her leg, so he keeps dunking her underwater.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Yeah,
and the B plot is the child gets out and basically kills this man.
Oh yeah.
And gets away. Meanwhile, Karate Cop and our main guy get into the building. They work their way up. I think Karate Cop is first because he dies.
Yeah.
And our main guy is
real,
like, no.
It's a real Qui-Gon situation where he gets to the bad guy first. He gets to Brayden first. And you're like, Karate Cop, we love you and believe in you, but we know you're not strong enough to defeat.
Right.
Brayden.
Meanwhile, he's doing he spits spikes in a guy's face.
Yeah, he had those in his mouth the whole time, I guess.
He did.
Like, it's a lot of little blades in his mouth that he spits out at some dude.
What if he just tripped on the curb and smashed his face, and then he was just done?
Could he be, like, hiccuped?
Yeah. Later, autopsy is like, apparently his lungs are filled with karate spikes. Huh. How did that happen? He must have put them in his mouth. But why would you do that? Only an idiot would do that.
And one doctor's like, yes, the mystical art of the ninja.
Yeah. At the part where the two old wise guys get murdered by the ninja, it's like watching like a duck fight Poseidon, you know, where it's just like... These guys are like in their 70s.
Right, it would be like dropping Abe Vigoda from The Godfather into the raid.
Yeah.
What is he gonna do?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why even kill these men? Why are we being so mean to these old and wise guys? Come on, guys.
They're not gonna do anything.
Yeah. They will gladly look the other way. That's probably why like a lot of this happens in broad daylight. I feel like cop cars slow, see like ninja stuff, and then just keep on driving.
Yeah. That's
it's
a
like
headache.
A scene
nobody
in
needs.
The town. Yeah. So this all gets to the roof, right?
Of course,
and this
yeah.
is where we get the roof fight, which is our big ending fight. Brayden, the ninja, versus our hero. We learn that Brayden somehow brought a dummy version of himself.
Two.
He brought
two
a robot
dummy.
Arm.
Two dummies. Two fully automated dummies.
So let's talk this out.
He's like the fucking shredder.
Yeah. So basically, there's a scene where, like, he's, you know, being ninja. He keeps disappearing and being like, where am I, you know? And our good guy has to find him on this roof, where, honestly, there's not that many hiding places.
There's not a lot of places to hide here. There's, like, two air conditioning units, and that's it.
It reminded me of, like, Tony Wonder in Arrested Development, where you're like, I bet he's behind there. I bet, like, wherever he's hiding is very undignified and probably very obvious. And at one point, he sees him behind him, turns around and cuts him, and it's a dummy. Which means that Brayden either had... He must have had the dummy up there
mm-hmm.
already.
Yep.
Okay.
He couldn't have carried it with him.
He's not bringing it with him. Yeah.
And then he has... There's another jacuzzi, right? He stumbles upon a third jacuzzi up here on the roof. And a little fake Brayden arm reaches up and grabs his leg from out of the jacuzzi, and he cuts it off. And it's like, oh, nope, it was a fake... It's a robot arm.
And then real Brayden
and then
pops
real
out.
Brayden jumps out of the jacuzzi.
The same jacuzzi. It was a double fake. So hold on. I need to... We see Brayden break into this building. He does the zip line, right?
Yeah,
he
with this giant, stupid bow and arrow.
He doesn't have a dummy on him there.
No.
So it means that Brayden must have come like the day before and put those dummies up there.
When you're preparing for a ninja mission, there's no such thing as being overprepared.
Right.
He was setting this up for months. There's like 18 dummies on like all rooftops all over the building, all over the city,
right,
rather.
There must be, right? Yeah. Like that he's just flying around putting dummies of himself
just in
everywhere.
Case.
Throw in a robot arm in the fucking jacuzzis. Every jacuzzi
what
has
what
one.
An amazing moment.
Incredible. He has a flamethrower.
He does.
Yeah, he whips out a flamethrower from his hand. He's really fighting. He's really like a modern ninja, right? Like he's fighting with that real modern stuff.
It's all truck stop stuff.
Yes.
He's a real truck stop ninja.
Yeah, it's magazine orders. A hand flame. It's like the same place you get magic tricks. Like I think he's a little bit of a magician.
That's
too.
The flame thing was a magic trick. He just like that's kind of like ninjas. Ninjas use fire. Hey,
right.
Don't they use fire? Ninjas use fire.
He's a rich weeb. That's really what it comes down to.
My God, yeah.
Yeah. So he has all, he goes to all the conventions. He has all the, like all the convention people, all sword guys, they all know him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He like goes to, he goes to conventions and expos and hangs out with everybody and shows off all his ninja skills and shit.
Shows off how many different weapons he has that have tiny knives hidden in them.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Ultimately.
It's my thermos. It's got a little knife hidden in it.
Ultimately, he loses.
He does.
Our main guy murders him. Mm-hmm. They do a sword fight.
For some reason, doesn't throw him off the building. I guess they're just ignoring the rules of a rooftop showdown in this film.
It's true. It's kind of disappointing. But we do get that like helicopter shot that you always get at the end.
Yeah, the virtuosity shot.
Yeah, exactly. And then credits. It's 80s action. So what that means is that the bad guy dies. And then you get credits.
Right. You have
and
about really 20 seconds of falling action. And then it's just get the fuck out. Get out of the theater.
Yep. You have 20 seconds to resolve the movie. And in this case, what happens is he kills the bad guy. And then his kid and the lady come up. And he's like, oh, hey. And hugs him. And it occurred to me, he didn't even try to rescue his kid.
No, he made a choice. He made the Dark Knight choice.
Yeah, his kid rescued himself.
Mm-hmm.
Had his kid not gotten out, he would have died.
Yeah.
That lady would have died.
Yep, they would both be dead. There would be he would show up at Brayden's house to rescue two dead bodies.
Yeah. He killed Brayden, and then you could see in that moment him standing there and him just going, oh shit, damn it, fuck. And just driving really fast, just like shit, 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 shit. Showing up and being like, fuck.
Damn it. Probably
they're dead.
Yep.
They're dead.
I can make another one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't that torn up when his other kid got fucking murdered.
Just
so.
A shuriken to the face.
Oh, what a fucking amazing movie.
Yeah, Revenge of the Ninja Man.
I'm trying to think of if I have any other thoughts. What's the next movie? What's
Ninja 3. That's what it's called.
It's called Ninja 3.
It's called Ninja 3. The Domination.
Do you think... All right, a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
Without looking into it, do you think it has the same characters in it?
I think it's going to have at least the same actors in it.
Okay, okay. And then do you think it's going to have a bigger or smaller budget?
Oh, I think it's going to have a smaller budget.
Yeah, I agree with all those things. Looking it up, it's from the director of Cyborg Cop.
He also directed
Delta Force 3.
He also directed this one.
Oh,
Sam
okay.
Furstenberg,
sorry.
Which sounds like a fake name.
Furstenberg? Yeah, that sounds like he looked at things in the room.
Yeah, it sounds like a Usual Suspects name.
Yeah, 100%. It could. The beauty of these movies is the third one could be anything.
It really can
be,
yeah.
Oh, shit. He also directed Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Fuck yeah, he did. All right, now we're talking. Now we're talking. We're in good hands, Dave.
We're
we got a lot
hands.
To look
he
forward
lot-
to.
He did a lot of ninja stuff. This is the kind of guy who I feel like if he's still alive, his house is a dangerous place to be. like he lives like Hunter S. Thompson is what I'm kind of imagining.
Yeah, I buy like, that.
Yeah. Or like H.R. Giger, where he has like a weird castle. Like I'm imagining this guy being
with
the
train,
off the rails.
His own train, yeah.
His own train.
And a fake mustache.
I'm so excited. He was making movies into the 2000s.
Oh, hell yeah. Listen, artists are going to create no matter what. And this guy is an artist.
He really is. This is art.
It is.
This is pure art.
It is.
This is like everything you want it to be. It's from the writer of The Barbarians.
The Conans?
Which...
The Conans, the Barbarians?
No, just it's called The Barbarians.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Is that a Barbarian Brother film, I assume?
I would assume so. It sounds like a project that would attract them.
It is a Barbarian Brother film. So, yeah. That's all. Revenge of the Ninja, man. Listen, it's hard to find this, right? Which is
a little bit,
you watch with your friends, right? The films that are awesome, and they are technically bad, but not in a boring way. You know what I mean? Like, usually when a movie's actually bad. They're just boring. You know, like, famously bad movies are usually famously bad, not in a fun way. And it's hard to even call this movie bad.
No, I would never dare to.
Yeah, it's more just ridiculous and awesome.
Yeah.
And I think what it is that at least it feels earnest. You know, it's that Miami connection.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it's not as charming as it's not as perfect as Miami Connection, but they definitely believe everything they're telling us about ninjas in this movie.
Right, because I think ninja movies, what's amazing about them is there's a lot of them. They're often very low budget. All you really need is to know like some karate
choreography,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Often the acting's bad because it's the people doing the choreography, doing the stunts. It's this beautiful mix of also traditionally, it seems, ninja movies are supposed to be gory as fuck.
Well, yeah.
And so it's this combination, and they're also supposed to be around like honor. So it's this combination of being like a little weirdly wholesome at times, and then suddenly out of its fucking mind. At other times. And that's where like Miami Connection comes into play, right? Where it's like friendship is magic and also we're going to slice this guy in half.
Yeah.
And this is kind of in that same beautiful realm where it ultimately feels like a group of stunt people drinking beers and just making a movie together.
Yeah.
And they're earnestly doing it, but I'm sure there's this overarching feeling of like, yeah, we know it's a little cheesy, right? Like, we're not making Citizen Kane here. We're making just a fun action movie.
Yeah. You would hope. I know some of these guys believe it. Frank Dukes and people like that.
Oh, 100%. But like this movie, those people didn't put on those costumes to have that playground fight thinking that they're making a serious action sequence, right? Like, there's no way. Like,
man,
no fucking way.
What... That took my breath away, that reveal.
So good.
I lost my words, Dave.
Hey, man, my mustache fell off. Cool. Was the fight good? Yeah, it was fine. All right, then we're keeping it.
Then we're good.
Yeah, did you sell the kick? Yeah, I think so. All right, that's all we need.
Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, let's keep going. We got one day on this playground. In fact, we don't really have a permit, what we're doing is wildly illegal. We're staging fights on a children's playground, yeah. Which is like something that children would do. That's what makes it so good is that...
Right, it's a ninja fight on a playground. Like it feels like it was written by people in third grade, which is the most authentic way you could make a ninja movie.
It feels like they've been bigged. Like it feels like a bunch of kids who have been bigged, and then they were like, let's make a ninja movie.
The movie does kind of feel like a wish.
Yeah. They all dress like children who are in adult bodies. It's amazing. Yeah, go see it.
Oh, man.
Run, don't walk to Revenge of the Ninja.
Yeah.
No wonder it was one of the biggest films.
Yeah, it dominated. Of course it did. The month of September.
Yeah. How could it not? What else are you going to do in September?
Fucking what? Yeah. 1983, yeah. Nothing.
So yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
Nolan, the Tubi Terror Bunny, thank you.
Thank you, man. This
Nolan, of course.
Great film.
Oh, it's very special. Nolan is having us watch Ninja 3, The Domination or whatever. So stay tuned for that. We will have all three down. I expect it to be just as awesome.
Boy, let's hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so. This was through our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. GameFully unemployed. We have, you know, this is a custom We Just Watch tier that we have on there. But we also have exclusive podcasts for $5 a month. You can listen to Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder's a Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, Spiel Boys. I haven't checked recently, but I think we have like 600 podcasts under there, like on our exclusive fucking tiers. So for $5 a month, you get access to 600 hours of us talking. I don't know, man. That seems like a pretty good deal to me. And we also watch movies every Friday night with our patrons.
Like
movies
this
like
one.
This,
yeah.
This movie, we literally watch this on a Friday night. So you can check that out as well. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed.
We also have a store. Head over to gamefullyunemployed.com. You can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So slap your little hypnotizing peepers onto that.
Yeah.
His eyes like turned into hypnotizing eyes.
Yeah. He's like the snake hypnosis eyes. I wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was just a stupid mask.
It looked really weird. Yeah, it was not the choice you would immediately think of to convey hypnotized. It's like, really?
No.
That looks like a cat's eye marble.
Yeah. Fucking Brayden.
It's his weird honky ninja magic.
Brayden the honky ninja. Good on him.
Yeah, I'm glad he's dead.
Hey, listen, our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can find him on twitter.com as The Corlew or go to shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is produced by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Our episode artwork is by Justin Brown, available on Twitter as Justin T. Brown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork is by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or on Twitter as Starlene X. Cool. Goodbye.